This is the Fantasy Football Tank Podcast with Mark Denton, Pablo Martinez, and here's your host, Alfredo Brown.
And welcome to the Fantasy Football Tank. We got a special episode today. It's just me, Alfredo Brown, sitting here with the famous Dr. Vignesh Doraswamy. Doctor, how we doing?
Hey, pretty good. How are you? Nice to talk to you. Nice to see you.
You know what? Feeling pretty good. How's everything going in the medical life right now? I know things are probably crazy for you.
As always, yeah, things are, you know, some days are good, some days are bad. Hospital's still kind of busy, but things are going.
I see you, man. You're sitting there in your scrubs, like you're taking time out of the busy schedule. You were telling me, I gotta push the recording back a little bit because I have to fix someone's breathing tube. You're apologizing to me.
Yeah, no, it was less about fixing a breathing tube and more about making sure the patient got a breathing tube, which they did.
See, now you just made me feel even dumber than I normally feel. So thanks for that. But you know what? We thank you, sir. Every time I'm talking to you, I'm so impressed by everything that you're doing, man. Keep fighting the good fight, so to speak.
Oh, we'll do. We'll do.
But the reason we've got you on here today, Doc, is to talk about players returning from injury. So we're going to be getting into that today. It's going to be a really interesting show topic. You know, as fantasy football players, we like to speculate a lot, but to hear it from a real medical professional, it gives us a lot more insight. So really looking forward to that. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the FF Tank. You can follow myself, Alfredo, on Twitter and Instagram at Alfredo A. Brown. And you can follow Dr. Vignesh Doraswamy on Twitter at Dr. Vig, V-I-G. And you post some really cool, informative stuff. I feel like I get a little bit smarter each day that I'm watching your Twitter feed.
Oh, thank you. I try to.
And I mean, you're getting followers by like the minute over there. You just keep growing.
Well, I think it's because there, you know, a lot of people want medical information and they're like, and that's mostly what I tweet, though I tweet about random nerdy things and obviously football.
That's fair. I mean, those are the two things that really matter the most, right? Mm-hmm. Medical nerdy things and football. All right. So as we've been doing on our social media accounts, we have been letting the listeners, the followers, everyone vote on, as Denton so lovingly calls it, the Bombo Combo, which is our trios. Okay. The top trios in the league for the NFL's best fantasy, I guess you want to call them players, right? Not us as players, but NFL players. So right now the rankings have gone as thus: the top four, the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. That's your number one. Obviously, that's a great, great trio right there. Number two, Bombo Combo, is going to be the Saints, Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas. Number three, Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper. And number four, voted by the fans, the Falcons. Matt Ryan, Todd Gurley, Julio Jones. I was surprised the Falcons got that much love. Next up, guys, so keep following this on our Twitter, on our Instagram. You're going to be voting on the Twitter account, okay? But you'll be able to see this and vote for number five. It's between the Ravens, the Buccaneers, the Cardinals, and the Packers. Now, Vig, let's jump into the NFL news and updates that have happened since our last episode. Now, not too many crazy things. Obviously, we had the NFL draft, but Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston finally found homes. Dalton signed a one-year deal with the Cowboys. He's going to be backing up Dak Prescott over there. So if there is an injury to Dak, Andy Dalton's found himself in a pretty good scenario. And then Jameis, we had been sitting here speculating, wondering where he was going to go. Jameis signs a one-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. Now, this is pretty impressive because, I mean, you're seeing guys that maybe would have had an opportunity to compete for starting jobs elsewhere, and they're going to places where they are going to be the backup. Like, there's no question about that. I think that we're going to see this probably more often. I think it's going to be the Teddy Bridgewater effect, where he got to spend that 1 year sitting behind Drew Brees and then, boom, nailed that big contract a year later after just playing a few games. I think it just makes a lot of sense for them. I'm surprised that we didn't see one of these guys go to your Jaguars.
Yeah, I know, right? I thought we would get somebody.
They're letting Gardner just take the keys to the vehicle.
I'm quite happy with that. We'll see. I mean, this is going to be his year, right? He either gets a shot or he doesn't, or, you know, we'll just go 0-16 and take Trevor Lawrence with number one next year.
There you go. I like it. Way to have the confidence. Now, next, we got Frank Gore getting signed by the Jets. I mean, that's just Adam Gase, man. Like, this guy just, he gets these weapons and he hates them. This, to me, this totally kills Le'Veon Bell. this just destroys Le'Veon Bell. I don't understand it. I was getting ready to get excited about Le'Veon Bell again, and it's just not going to happen for me. And then lastly, this one, I feel like these two guys, Frank Gore and Marshawn Lynch, they will never go away from football. They're just going to keep playing till they're 60 years old and just continue running through defensive tackles. Marshawn Lynch's agent has been in talks with the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, it's crazy to think that these guys are going to continue to play. Marshawn Lynch, Frank Gore, getting up there in years, you see them having any kind of fantasy relevance, or is it more so they're just going to take away from the guys in front of them?
I don't know. That's hard to say. Sorry, I like froze there for a second trying to think about this. But, Marshawn, 1 yard line, you're on the goal line, you need a touchdown. He's probably going to take a few touchdowns away, right, if he comes in?
You'd think that on the 1 yard line, you'd let him run.
Seems like the, is that what you were going for there? Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, you alley-ooped that up. you alley-ooped that up beautifully. All right, guys. So as you're listening to this, I want you all to know you can absolutely join our listener league that we've got coming up whenever the fantasy football season does start. We're going to be having a 12-team listener league. Okay, one team is going to be taken up by us in the show. That's myself, Vignesh, Pablo, Mark. We are all going to co-manage one team and absolutely crush whoever plays. No, I'm just kidding. But we do have 11 other spots available for you guys. So how do you get to take part in that? Okay, you subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Okay, you subscribe and then leave a review or rating. Really simple. Once you do that, you take a screenshot of it, right? After that, go to whichever one of our social media platforms you prefer, Instagram or Twitter. Follow us there. Take a screenshot of it. Okay, send us those screenshots. Slide in our DMs. Once we get that, we will then let you know that you've been put in the running to be in our listener league. There's only 11 spots, okay? We've already filled up one spot. We're going to continue to fill up this league as we go, but get yourself in the running. It's really simple. So once again, subscribe and leave a review or rating. Screenshot it. Follow us. Screenshot it. Send us the screenshots. Slide in the DMs. All right, Dr. Vig, this is the big moment. This is why you're here, sir. So let's hop into our first player, Ben Roethlisberger. All right. Ben Roethlisberger, in September, he underwent surgery on his right elbow. He is a right-handed quarterback. Something like this, how does this affect arm strength, accuracy, when a quarterback does have the type of surgery he did have?
So I'll start with the good news, which is he has had elbow issues for a very long time. And whatever he's done for you, all of his fantasy output, has been with an injured elbow, and he swears he's been playing through and with the pain. Now, he says he's had absolutely no pain for the first time that he can remember. And there's videos out there of him already, on his knees and just, or flat-footed throws. I think they look good. And I think overall that's the good news. But here's the bad news. He's 38. Was this already going to be his last season without an injury? A lot of people thought so. He also, like you mentioned, was on his throwing arm. And even though the team was being really cryptic and they wouldn't tell us what the injury was, and they said it wasn't Tommy John surgery, which, by the way, Tommy John surgery is when you take ligaments out of, or tendons out of, like, different parts of your body and put them into the affected area. Tendons are the things that connect your muscles to bone. Ligaments are what connect bone to bone and kind of keep your joints together.
I like how you say this also casually, like it's just, secondhand knowledge.
Yeah, well, in case people hear these things, so maybe you have a little better idea of what's happening. Like the Achilles that Kobe had, that's a major tendon that connects your muscle, your calf muscle, down to your bone. So anyway, this guy, he required 3 tendons reattached, according to Chris Mortensen, who I like to think is a reasonably reliable source. So he's 38, had a major injury, had a major surgery. I'm a little... not that optimistic.
A little not that optimistic.
Yeah.
And so what makes you a little not that optimistic? I get that he's 38. I get that it's his throwing arm. But how do you feel like this is going to affect his performance? Because, I mean, we saw what happened with the Steelers. When they don't have Ben throwing the rock, things don't go well for them.
Well, I think
so challenging for him.
Well, I think the challenge isn't – he might be very good. He could come back and be – quite good. 38 doesn't mean as much when you're an elite NFL athlete. And these folks recover better than anybody else. But it's just the nature. If you think about it, the elbow is sort of that joint that every throw has to go through. It's not like, you know, you've seen folks who've hurt their wrist a little bit and they can still throw the ball, still get a bit of spin on it. But you can't really hurt your shoulder or your elbow and really get as much out of it as you used to. And it's a slow recovery. So it's hard to say. He injured himself, you know, week two. So he's had some time to recover, but I don't know. This is sort of a major surgery. Like you said, you know, at one point you mentioned Tommy John surgery when we were just chatting before this, how like it's good that he didn't have Tommy John surgery, because everybody knows Tommy John surgery, you don't always come back like the way you were. But this very well may have been the same thing or similar, even if they don't want to call it that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest fear with everyone is that we don't know the severity of the surgery. It's on his throwing arm. If it was his left elbow, it's a little different. But I mean, to have that at 38, we don't know the severity of it. It makes me really nervous. Right now, I've got it as my QB14, but after talking with you, I'm probably going to be dropping that a little bit lower. I can't imagine myself taking a chance on Ben this year, which then kind of it's you know, the domino effect. It makes me then get really nervous about the rest of the Steelers players. I was a little bit higher on Juju, a little bit higher on Ebron, a little bit higher on some of these guys. And it's just now I don't know what to expect out of the Steelers offense.
And that's a challenge. And that's what I want to say. You know, he could come back and be a quarterback that you draft in your fantasy football draft, but I just can't see him doing that. If he doesn't get drafted, pick him up later, maybe he'll get better, but he's a risk to be your QB1.
Now, going from one injured quarterback to another, Matt Stafford for the Detroit Lions in November, and at least talking to you, you think that it was possibly before that he suffered non-displaced fractures in the upper thoracic spine. That's like the smartest sentence I have ever said in my entire life. Non-displaced fractures in the upper thoracic spine. He was shut down after week 9, didn't play for the rest of the regular season. According to the team doctors, he's been cleared to play. Cleared to take part in exercises and practices and all that stuff when they're ready to go. But how does an injury like this heal without any kind of surgery?
So you're going to hear the complete opposite from me now from what I said about Big Ben. I think Stafford's going to be great. So they thought that this injury happened back in 2018, maybe against the Raiders when they had a tough game, and he fractured some bones in the back. The fancy, all that terminology you said is really, he had fractures that didn't push his bones apart. They were still together. They weren't displaced. And they were in the thorax, meaning sort of his chest area, sort of in the back, on the upper side of the back. This guy, he's tough. He played with this injury and with this pain for many games, but started 136 straight games before he was told by his team doctors that it was time, because he was still playing. And he was playing out of his mind.
Yeah,
300-plus yards of passer rating of like over 100. They hadn't lost a game for a bit. And of course, they ended up losing 9. But, you know, and Bob Quinn says he's pretty comfortable with Stafford at quarterback and how he's doing. And as recently as March 2nd, they said that he was completely healed, doing really well. I think you get either the same Stafford you had before his injury or a slightly better Stafford who doesn't have to worry about as much pain in his back. This guy was playing really well with a pretty major injury.
And that's crazy to think that he could play even better at this age after an injury, or at least, you know, finally that injury coming to fruition, him taking the time off. He was on pace to get almost 5,000 passing yards last season. And, you know, you think of this guy, Matt Stafford, he's always one that has relied on his arm strength. He's driven the ball downfield to his big bodied wide receivers. You know, does something like this really affect your throwing strength and how you can kind of place the ball downfield, or would this recovery really just kind of solve all those issues?
In theory, acutely, if you have this injury, it should hurt your ability to play. And that's why I'm so optimistic. It didn't seem to hurt his ability to play very much. And the fact that he's given himself this much time to heal, or he was forced to take this much time to heal, actually makes me kind of feel excited about the prospects of having Matt Stafford, if you're a Lions fan.
Well, then now I definitely got to move him up my rankings a little bit. It gets me a little more excited. I was worried about Matt Stafford, but I like this. This is why we have these talks.
Yeah.
Moving on to A.J. Green, wide receiver in Cincinnati. A.J. Green has been the epitome of just fantasy success for the Bengals when he's healthy. The guy is just consistently a top five performer. He's excellent when he's actually on the field. The problem here is he underwent minor ankle surgery back in July of last year. And at the time it was reported, he's supposed to be ready for week 1. We ended up not seeing him at all throughout the entire season. It was the weirdest, most mysterious injury happening. And I believe it probably started out as an actual ankle injury. And then it turned into, you know, losing-itis, whatever you want to call it. We never saw him on the field in 2019. Can you give us a little more insight? Because, you know, he's visited with doctors and with a foot specialist. No reports have come out of that. Is there any kind of insight you can give to us? Is this an actual real injury where an ankle injury could have sidelined him for the whole year?
So I'll start with some speculation, which is, if you have good news to share about one of your players being healthy and being well, why don't you share it? I'll leave that as food for thought, but I'm not sure. So this was a training camp injury, and allegedly he tore ligaments in his ankle. Again, ligaments are what keep the joint together and hold everything together. This is an injury-prone guy. The ankle is important. Your foot is important for a wide receiver. He's already hurt that same side. I think he had toe surgery back in December, and he like missed a giant chunk of that season. He's missed like 40% of his games over the last 3 years. Damaged ankles are really, really tough on a wide receiver, even one who's like a 7-time Pro Bowler. Now, Zach Taylor said just about a month ago that he thinks AJ's healthy. And if he's healthy, certainly has, but his ceiling is sky high. But I don't know. This is hard to say. There's just so much smoke screening going on that it's really hard to say. These guys did not give us any real information about what's happening with him. I don't know of a simple injury, the way they made it seem, he'd only miss a few weeks, that would knock you out the entire season. Now, was there like some other, I don't know, not happy with the team, didn't want to play for the team? There's been rumors of that, you know. So, but let me get back to why you have me here, which is to talk about the injury. It's hard to say specifically what's happening, given how cryptic everyone in that organization is being about his injury. And I personally am not going to draft him very highly. If he's there later, you know, and I can get him for like $10, I will.
But no, stop that. Mark Denton drafted him last year in our auction league for $13. And it was such a huge mistake for him. And I know he's going to do it again. I know he's going to draft AJ Green with a lot of his auction budget. And I can't wait to trap him into that. I hope he doesn't listen to this, because that's exactly what I'm going
to
do.
Well, you know he's going to listen to this, which is why I gave you that little softball, threw it out there. But anyway, you know, I think there are plenty of wide receivers to go around in this league. And I might make a mistake by saying don't draft him. But he's just been very injury prone. He's missed so many of his games. And again, this will be a recurring theme as we talk about receivers and folks who have ankle injuries. But I just don't think he can come back and be as good as he was. Well, I mean, unless they really lied to us about what injury he had.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of the cloud around this, right, is the mystery of what actually was the injury, how severe was it? I feel like more and more, like we're talking about these players where we don't know what the real injury was and how bad it really was. With him, a lot of it was people were speculating he's got to be healthy, he just doesn't want to play. But then now, I mean, the Bengals went out and they drafted a wide receiver, 33rd overall with T. Higgins. You know, there's just a lot kind of going on that makes me really uncomfortable with AJ Green. From a fantasy standpoint, I don't see him as a top 24 receiver at this moment, not unless, you know, there's more news coming out and, you know, Zach Taylor's saying we want to make him a feature part of the offense. But even with that, I'm just still too nervous. They're adding more weapons. He's coming off of a year where he didn't play at all. There's just too much up in the air with him. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Now, a guy that the Eagles have come out and said they want to make him a big part of the offense, but once again, we're not buying it, Alshon Jeffrey. Now, he underwent a Lisfranc fracture surgery back in December. I personally have had this same surgery on my left foot when I was 18 years old. It took me about a full year to recover, and even then, didn't exactly still feel quite normal. You can run, you can jump. It's not quite the same. You're not the same athlete that you were. And that was me at 18 when your body's able to heal pretty fast. Alshon's not 18, and this is not his first injury. What are your thoughts on the Lisfranc fracture surgery with Alshon?
Oh, man, I have lots of Eagles fan friends, and they're not going to be pleased with me. But so let's start with what the Lisfranc issue is. Some people think it's a fracture. Some people think, you know. So the Lisfranc sort of is like the midfoot of the bone. You can think of it as the midbone of the foot. You can call it like a complex. It's all the midfoot bones, the ligaments, the things that connect it, keep it together, everything that runs through that area. It's really important because that's what's allowing the force that's being generated from the ankle through the foot into the toes, the stuff that allows you to point and push off the ground and have all those other quick motions. So you really need a stable Lisfranc complex for walking, running, jumping, and cutting. Some of the stuff that you said just was never the same. And it sounds like
I'm a great athlete now. Yeah. I'm a fantastic athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can cover me.
Oh, yeah. I can't cover you. So it sounds like this guy had to get surgery, and they like probably put in plates and screws. And if you want me to get really nerdy, this is actually interesting because I don't always get to find stuff like this. But Dr. Singh and his group at Northwestern Hospital studied 47 players with Lisfranc injuries. 35 were NFL football players and 12 were rugby players. The average, and these are elite athletes, took 10 plus or minus 2 months to just return to play. So anywhere from 8 to 12 months just to return. And he then took it to the next level. I love the study, actually. They compared offensive and defensive players who had these injuries, and folks on the offense did way worse. And then he watched their performance over the next 2 to 3 years, and almost all of them showed a steady, significant decline in play. That's some athletes never really recover. Yeah, and some athletes just never recover, you know? So I'm not very high on Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, I know they claim that he's going to be a major part of their offense, and maybe they mean that their offense is just going to be sitting on the bench all year, but.
Well, I mean, I don't know anyone that's playing fantasy that is very high or very excited about Alshon Jeffrey, but I think that, you know, hearing you talk about how serious this Lisfranc fracture is and how poorly he's going to perform, that only makes me more excited about guys like Jalen Reagor, who they drafted in the first round, Zach Ertz, who's going to continue to be a great tight end, Dallas Goedert, who got a lot of play last year. I mean, the Alshon Jeffrey train, I think, has left the station. I think it's gone. It's not coming back. I think that from here on out, it's just going to be probably a slow decline. I can't see him ever returning to that normal, you know, superstar self that he was at.
Yeah, I agree. And you remember, this was an end-of-the-year injury. He's only 4 months out from when this happened.
Wow, yeah.
And we said 9 months to a year, even for elite athletes. So that takes him out till December. We're talking 2021. So I don't know. I'm not feeling very great about this.
Yeah, I want no part of Alshon Jeffrey in my fantasy drafts. Jarvis Landry, Cleveland Browns wide receiver, an excellent route runner. He is a guy who has produced no matter what team he's been on, no matter how bad the quarterback is, because he's an excellent route runner. He's got great hands, and he's a guy that just constantly gives you production. He's pretty reliable. However, he had hip surgery on February 4th. He's been given a 6 to 8 month timetable for recovery. The Browns are hoping that he'll be ready for week one. Now, he did play through this injury for a good portion of last season. Any guarantee, doctor, that he's going to be playing better after this surgery?
So I can't guarantee it, but I'm feeling pretty strongly that you'll get a good Jarvis Landry when he comes back. So with this injury, he still had, I'm not saying he was the greatest fantasy player last year, but he had 80 catches, 1,200 yards, not a lot of red zone production with 6 touchdowns. He's had time for this to heal. They did the right sort of treatment for it. And again, this is sort of, you know, it is important, especially for someone like him who's a very, very excellent, intricate sort of route runner, because this sort of is the joint that stabilizes your whole, you know, keeps your hips together, your ability to move quickly and, you know, run around. All of that's going to be dependent on your hips. And they didn't tell us too much about the details of his surgery, but I think individually, I think you'll get a very good Jarvis Landry. Maybe you can tell me a little bit more about what to do with the rest of that team, since they have a lot of offensive weapons there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not overly excited about any one player on the team. Maybe, I mean, I think that Baker Mayfield can be a guy that you grab late in your draft that could be one of those surprise quarterbacks this year. They've upgraded the offensive line and given him weapons everywhere. I think that Odell Beckham, like I said, he's the guy that has been successful and been consistent no matter where he's been and who's been around him. So I can't imagine that changes, especially if you're telling me that, you know, he was playing with this already, it was hurting him, and he was still giving you that kind of production. I can only imagine it should be better. Not to mention Odell Beckham with his sports hernia. You know, you've got guys around him that, yeah, you've got the players around him, but they're also not in the best health either. So I do feel pretty confident about him. I've never been one to draft Jarvis Landry, but I do feel relatively confident about him, and I think that other fantasy players can feel confident about him going into this next season. Now, we talked about a Lisfranc injury before with Alshon Jeffrey. Now we move on to Evan Engram, tight end for the New York Giants. Engram was dealing with a sore foot. That's what they were calling it back in November. That turned out to be a partial tear of the Lisfranc ligament. Now, what's the difference when you're talking about a complete fracture versus a partial tear of the ligament? I mean, I'm obviously you can give us more insight on that.
Sure. So just in simple terms, a fracture is a break and you fracture bones. So like I said, this is the whole midfoot complex. So in our last case, we talked about someone who actually broke something. Ligaments, as we mentioned earlier, help keep the joint together and help connect bone to bone. So a partial tear, so like other famous ligaments are like the ACL, MCL, the L and all of that stands for ligament. It helps keep the knee together. In this case, this helps keep your foot together. A partial tear, meaning the whole thing wasn't torn, so they just sort of had to like put it back together a little bit. I would have expected when this happened, if you asked me how he's going to do, I'm like, this is a young guy, great tight end. Correct me if I'm wrong. He was drafted in the first round. That he was going to come back and be,
believe second,
pretty good. Or maybe second, yeah. And he was going to come back and do pretty well. But what makes me very, very not happy with Evan Engram, and it was dropping down my own fantasy rankings, is that this guy was in a boot at the end of March, like 3 months after his surgery. And even then, they were saying, you know, he wasn't going to come back to training camp. And that was before all this COVID business happened. And so this is two straight injury-plagued seasons. He's already hurt the MCL, that another ligament. He's hurt his hamstring, his foot. He's missed like nearly 15 games of the ones that he's eligible to play. You know, he's young. He's in the prime of his career. The team doesn't have other options at tight end, really, or other great options, I'd say. So I think he's still to be determined at this point. If I had to draft today, he falls down my list of tight ends that I'd want to draft. Because his recovery for an elite athlete does not seem like where it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw a lot of this with guys like Jordan Reed, who would have this injury and you'd hear, okay, he's supposed to be better by this timeline, and it never really came to fruition. By the way, I got to give you your props. You were right. Evan Engram, first round draft pick, 23rd overall. I was incorrect. Once again, you're smarter than me.
No, not true. My dad, so I was born in New York. My dad's a Giants fan.
Ah, okay. Well, fair enough. So, I mean, the big thing with him is that, you know, there are no other tight ends on that roster really that can take his spot. You did mention that they picked up his fifth-year option. I mean, this is a team that seems like they're ready to be getting him the ball and make him a part of their offense. Yeah. This is something that Jason Garrett has done, being, you know, the coach with the Cowboys. He was heavily reliant on the tight end with Jason Witten. That was always a big part of their offense, and that's where the quarterback looked. And I think if you have a healthy Evan Engram, he should play well. I think this is something that we definitely have to monitor, though, and see. It's going to be weird this year because you're not going to have your normal training camps. You're not going to be able to get those reports if someone looks good out there running routes. This is the kind of the stuff that you got to monitor online as best as you can if we are going to have the normally scheduled season. Now, if he's not playing, or if he's not the same guy and not recovered, right now I have him as my tight end 6. And that's, it's high because I'm expecting him to hopefully be healthy. But if that's the case and he's not healthy, like you're saying, or maybe they're holding back on the real notes here, that's going to drop him definitely down the line. Could end up being a steal for someone. So it's definitely something to monitor as we get closer to the season.
Yeah, he's definitely a monitor guy. I think making a judgment call now is a little premature on our part, but so far things are not looking good.
Hold my beer. I got you. Now you can go ahead and make a judgment right here because I know what you're going to do. Darius Geis, running back, Washington Redskins. Listen, man, the guy has had a knee injury every year for the past 3 years. Looking at this, in 2017, a grade 1 knee strain. 2018, grade 3 ACL tear. And then just last season, diagnosed with a sprained MCL back in December. How in the world does this happen? I know that there's guys out there, like you get, you know, the moniker of having bad knees, bum knees, or the guy's got no knees. Like, is that a real thing that it's just your knees cannot handle the stress of the game?
So, I mean, it's bad luck, right? For sure. But the bad luck has led to bad knees. I think it is. You know, these are important joints. You need the joint to be really stable. If you've had to go in and muck around and do multiple surgeries, you've had multiple injuries. I hate to say it, this guy's 22, but he's played 5 games in 2 years. And, you know, there's the mental stress of, in recent interviews, he says, this is my last chance. And it looks like the team thought it was his last chance too, because you can tell us more about this absolutely stacked, in terms of numbers of running backs they have on the depth chart.
I mean, let's count it. You got Geis, that's one. Adrian Peterson. You got Peyton Barber, 3. J.D. McKissick, 4. Bryce Love, 5. And then now they drafted Gibson, who's a wide receiver running back. They're talking about using him in a Christian McCaffrey mold. So you got 6 guys, potentially, that could play the running back position. That doesn't happen on teams. And I'm sure they I wouldn't think they're going to keep all those guys, but Ron Rivera is saying every guy is going to have a role in this offense. That is zero faith in a guy like Darius Geis. The fact that they would rather hand the ball over to 47-year-old Adrian Peterson, it just speaks volumes about their own faith in this player. I don't understand how there's a fantasy player that can have faith in Darius Geis.
Or really anybody in Washington at this point. But we're here to talk about guys. No, the guy, he's young. He's great. I really, really hope I'm wrong. Young elite athletes get better more talented than anyone else. But I don't know. In January, he said he was healthy and good to go. He looked confident. He's young. He's got a lot of potential for healing. But, man, has he had really bad luck. And I just don't know if those knees are ever going to be the same. But this is a running back. His ankles and knees are just supremely important.
Yeah, and no disrespect to Geis, because, I mean, he is super talented when he's actually playing. When you watched him at LSU, he was great. You watched him in the limited action he's had, he's been good. But then you can always just tell, you know, it gets worse every year that there's another knee injury, and he's losing a little bit of that explosiveness. He's losing that ability to cut back as easily as he used to. I don't think it's there for the NFL or for fantasy. I never want to wish ill on a player. I can't imagine. This is going to be a long shot for him. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I agree. I wish the best for him. I'd love to see him come back and just really kill it in the league, but I'm afraid that's not going to happen. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I just don't see it.
Now, a guy that many deem to be a long shot to even be drafted in the top five in this NFL draft, Tua Tagovailoa, the new quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. Number five overall pick. He was, in my opinion, the biggest storyline of the draft. Everyone wondering, where's Tua going to go? He suffered a dislocated hip and a fracture during last season playing for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, he looked good and all the videos coming out with his pro day and moving around, throwing, pressing off that back foot and pushing into his throws. Give us a little bit of information on this injury.
Sure. So if you want to visualize, if you're listening to this, what the hip is like, the femur, the biggest bone in the top of your leg, has sort of a ball at the end, and the ball fits into a socket, a smooth little socket. That's why your legs can move around in all directions. He fractured the back wall of that socket. This could be a big deal. It really could. I mean, like, when I saw this injury, I was quite fearful for him, because people have compared it to Bo Jackson. And that's right. This sort of injury can compromise the blood flow and actually shut off the blood supply, and you can have dead bone, and you just don't come back from that. But that didn't seem to happen. This is sometimes considered like an orthopedic emergency. And they got him quickly. I think they like airlifted him out on a helicopter to like Birmingham, if I'm not mistaken. And it looks like he suffered no compromise in his blood flow. And everyone saw that TMZ video in March where he, like you said, he just looked fantastic. Yeah. You know, some worry, could this happen again? This is rare. Like, football players don't really get this sort of injury. You see this in like motor vehicle accidents when you get like, you know, a quick stop from a rapid speed. But I think this guy's going to look good. I think he's going to be fine. You know, as a left-handed quarterback, it's not even the foot, that side of his foot is really not even the one that he needs the most. You know, it reminds me of a young Mark Brunell from my own Jacksonville Jaguars. Sorry, I just wanted to throw out Mark Brunell there. Hey, look, the best part of the draft for me was how much Mark Brunell they showed when Tua got drafted. But, you know, and this the guy's a monster, right? He's had like five reasonably major injuries, including a left high ankle sprain in like October, December of 2018. He didn't miss a game, even though he had a procedure. No, that was October. And then he only missed a single game for the 2019 high ankle sprain after he got, you know, he had a minor procedure for that too.
Yeah, so many people have deemed him to be this injury-prone quarterback, but he's still playing for most of his games. Like, he's not missing these games. He's hurt, but he's playing, and he put up the highest QBR in a recorded career as a quarterback since they've been actually tracking that stat for college football.
Yeah, and this as well. So he only had five really notable injuries in 3 years, and prior to the one that made him miss the last three and a half, he missed one game.
Yep.
Now, you can talk about fantasy because that's a whole different story. But I think as you and most of our friends are fans of the Dolphins, I think you guys have a healthy Tua on your team, as much as I hate to say.
Well, I'm doing my best to put my fandom aside. I do think Tua is going to be a much more valuable dynasty fantasy asset, a guy that, you know, I don't really see the value in him this season. But going into the end of the year and going into next season, I think that you can definitely look at him as being someone with a lot of value. He's got that running ability. He's incredibly accurate. He's not going to kill you with the turnovers. You're not going to see a 30-30 season from him like he did with Jameis. I think that this is going to be a guy that it's only going to help him to have this year to sit, learn the offense, get used to everything. And then next season, if you're stashing him in Dynasty, you're holding on to him, this is a guy that could be very big for you. I don't see him being of any value in a redraft league. But with a guy like this, Vignesh, do you see how this could maybe affect the longevity? Because really, with a guy like Tua, a young guy, a rookie, you know, we're talking Dynasty fantasy. With that, how does this really affect his longevity of his career and the whole injury-prone label that he gets?
I don't think it does. And I hate to say it because, you know, it's kind of been fun to have so many Dolphin fans in my life and really hate on you guys for just talking about an undefeated season when none of you were even alive. But he's not that injury prone. I mean, he had a broken left index finger in like March of 2018, didn't miss anything. Sprained his right knee in October 2018, didn't miss a game. Had a left ankle sprain in December, had surgery, didn't miss a game. That still boggles my mind. And again, in October, he missed only one game after a right high ankle sprain. And he missed 3.5 for this, and he may have missed more depending on when it happened. But he's really not that injury prone, I think. He's had some minor injuries, but only 5 notable ones. And everyone's going to remember this last big one. But I think, and again, like I said, this is not an injury. This hip injury just is not going to happen again playing football. It's a freak injury. I don't think his hip joint is any more unstable than anyone else's at this point, especially given what we've already seen. Everyone said he was healthy, and, you know, the Dolphins picked him at 5, which is, I think they wouldn't have made that risky a call unless they had pretty good intel. I think he's sort of future proof for dynasty leagues.
Wow. Once again, awesome stuff. Thank you, Doctor, for taking the time. I mean, go back to saving lives. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot going on, but this was awesome. It's really good insight. It helps me personally with my fantasy leagues, and I think it's going to help a lot of our listeners. So thank you so much. Once again, you can follow the show on Twitter at the FF Tank. You can follow Pablo at FFT Pablo. Follow Mark at Dark_Menton. And you can follow the good doctor here at Dr. Vig, DocTorVig on Twitter for some awesome medical nerd out stuff and just a lot of really good advice during this pandemic, like washing your hands. You know, that's just good advice. And you can follow myself on Twitter at Alfredo A. Brown. For Pablo and Mark, who aren't here, and for the good doctor, Dr. Vignesh, we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the FF Tank.